Shadow Banking by C.M. Albright. Read by Alex Jordan for Saga Egmont. Prologue. On the beach. I can almost forgive you for all the other things. I always knew you had a conscience bypass, but that was beyond anything. It's our relative. It was $1 billion. It's just a number. For a long time, I might have agreed with you, but not anymore. $1 billion means something. Maybe not to you, but it means something. Okay, maybe I was being trite. And why me? Why did you do that to me after everything else? You were the only one I could count on to help me. What happened happened for a reason. The reason being your greed. If I was being greedy, I was being greedy for life, not money. I was trying to stay alive. Why didn't you tell me that at the time? I did, don't you remember? I didn't think you meant it. I thought you were exaggerating. Well, now you know I wasn't. So where's the money? It's safe, for the moment. Great, yeah, that makes me feel so much better. Don't be sarcastic, it doesn't suit you. I'm only sarcastic with you. I think I can be forgiven for that, all things considered. So, come on, tell me. What are you doing here? I needed to see you. For the last time. While they were talking, a third man, tall, wearing sunglasses and dressed all in black, made his way through the dunes. Once on the beach, he kept his gaze trained on the two men as he walked towards them across the sand. Book 1. 1. Revolving Doors. FTSE 100, 2984. He loved that sound she made when they had sex. It was a rhythmic little gasp, punctuated every now and again with an, "Oh, that's so nice," or an, "Oh, Al." Once it had been an, "Oh, Steve," which had led to a tense situation, but he'd forgiven her. Steve had been a former boyfriend. It was an easy mistake to make. It happens. It wasn't as though he hadn't closed his eyes on occasions and pretended Sam was any one of a number of other girls, including his 40-year-old former tutor at university. But there it was again. That sound. Happy. Lost. Preoccupied with the moment. And Al realised that it was probably the last time that he would ever hear it. It made him sad and accentuated the magnitude of the decision he had made. He had been with Sam for 2 years at Durham University, and they'd lived together for a year of that in a flat with four other friends and a leaky roof. They were good times, probably the happiest of his life, but now they were about to come to an end. Sam was going to Thailand, and from there to Indonesia and Australia, where she planned to work for a while. A 2-year trip in all. There was no way a relationship could survive that amount of time spent apart. Not at their age. They were both 22 years old. And as for Al, well, was he selling his soul? He was certainly following a very different path, going to work in the city. For a while, at least. Until he decided whether he liked it or not. Or whether he might want his soul back. The lure of a couple of years backpacking around Asia and Australia had been powerful. Particularly with the thought of spending plenty more moments like this with Sam. But the fact of the matter was that he didn't have any money. That was part of the impetus of wanting to earn some, or at least start out on a career, the primary goal of which was to earn some. He was fed up of living like a student. In about 10 minutes, the two of them would have to get up, shower, dress, and go their separate ways. Sam to Heathrow and a flight to Bangkok, and Al to the City of London and his first day at the venerable banking institution of Trenchard Colville. In the meantime, he wanted to keep on listening to those little gasping noises she made, sounding more sweet than ever, as though forming a delicious little coda to the happiness they had shared. But the only way to keep the music playing was to get busy. Looking up at her, she straddled him. He smiled and gestured with his head. A little signal they both understood, and they moved together. A perfectly executed barrel roll. The practice fluency and precision.